book of Luke, chapter 5. Book of Luke, chapter 5, we'll read verses 17 through verse 25. It came to pass on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they, that is, the ones who brought him, sought means to bring him in and to lay him, this is their purpose, and to lay him, before Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he, Jesus, saw their faith, he said unto him, the man who had been let down, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, they just thought these things, and he knows their minds, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he arose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. This is Luke's account of how some individuals carried a paralytic on his bed to where Jesus was, and then how Jesus healed this individual. Matthew records the same event in Matthew chapter 9. We read from there this morning. In Mark chapter 2, we read from there. And also, we have it here in Luke's account, from which we read this morning as well. Mark's account contains the most detail. And it is from Mark's account that we learn that all of this took place on a return trip to Capernaum. We read in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. So he had been there before. In Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 37, we learn what took place on his previous stop at Capernaum. And as a result of what took place there, we read in Mark 1, verse 37, that the multitudes were seeking Christ. And from Mark 1, chapters, verses 38 through 45, we see Christ leaves Capernaum and he preaches throughout Galilee. And that brings us to Mark 2, chapter 1. After some days had passed, that is, from going into Galilee, Jesus has returned to Capernaum. And due to what he had previously done there, we read in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, it was noised that he was in the house. So news spread that Jesus has returned. Jesus is in this house. And in verse 2, we see that many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much about the door. From verse 2, we also see from that house of Mark chapter 2, he preached the word unto them. We learn from Luke's account, what we just read in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So Jesus was in that house, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them, referring to the Pharisees and the scribes and all others that were gathered. It is also from Mark's account in chapter 2 and verse 3 that we learn that this paralytic was carried by four individuals. We're not told their names. We're not told anything about them. They may have been relatives of this man. They may have been neighbors of this man. They may have been friends of this man. We have no idea. But these four individuals carry this man to where Jesus Christ was. We read in Matthew 9 and verse 2, "And behold, they brought to him," that is to Jesus, "a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed." So we see what he was doing when he was brought to him. He was lying on a bed. But we want to take our thought tonight from Luke chapter 5, verse 19. It says that they let him down through the roof. Notice the last five words of verse 19, "into the midst before Jesus," or "in front of Jesus." And that's what we want to think about tonight, before Jesus. Before Jesus. What a wonderful place to be. It ought to be our place every single day, before Jesus. The first thing we want to notice is how this came about. How did this man get before Jesus? We've preached on this part of the message before. A people of faith, we see a wonderful example here of faith. Of the four individuals who carried this man, and also of the individual lying upon the bed, because Jesus recognized his faith as well. But these individuals, five of them, the four who carried the bed and the one on the bed, they recognized the need. They had a desire to see that need met. In the three accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the phrase sick of the palsy is used nine times in describing this individual who was carried to where Jesus Christ was. So his condition is very real. His condition had a very definite impact upon his life. In fact, he was simply known by the palsy. In other words, this was his life. This is how, if you were to look at this individual, this is how you would describe his life. He is a man of the palsy. He is a paralytic. His condition, of course, was one of incapacity, one of helplessness. These individuals, five, knew. They recognized, they were aware that this man's condition was beyond themselves and was beyond all human ability. These five individuals knew that they were in need of a miracle, and they longed to have that miracle. Secondly, we see that these individuals possessed faith in the person of Christ. In all three accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it is recorded that Jesus recognized the faith of these individuals. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2, it says, "Jesus seen their faith." Now, the paralytic is before Jesus. The others are up upon the roof, but it says, "Jesus seen their faith." So he's speaking of all five. The man who is before him, the four that are still up on the roof. Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, Jesus saw their faith. Luke chapter 5, verse 20, and when he saw their faith. So these five individuals were absolutely persuaded, they were convinced that Jesus was greater than the paralysis that had impacted this man's life. They were absolutely certain that Jesus was sufficient. They were absolutely certain that Jesus was able. And they were absolutely certain that Jesus was the best thing for them. And their faith caused them to be committed. Their faith caused them to be unwavering. Their faith caused them to be passionate in getting to where Jesus was. Their faith caused them to be focused upon where Jesus was. Their faith moved them in the direction of Christ. Their faith caused them to pursue a nearness to Jesus Christ. It is a worthless faith that does not move us in the direction of Christ. It is a worthless faith that does not cause us to pursue a nearness to Christ. Their faith caused them to pursue this nearness. And their faith not only moved them in the direction of Christ, but it caused them to persevere in the direction of Christ. It caused them to be determined. It caused them to be unceasing in their movement toward Jesus Christ. Their faith did not allow them to be indifferent in this matter. Their faith would not allow them to be content with anything less than being in the very presence of Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of faith that we need. We see that they knew that Jesus was in that house. And they knew that in Jesus, that is where the help was that they needed. In Him was healing. In Him was relief. In Him was joy. In Him was fulfillment. And they would not, and in Him was encouragement and peace and victory. They knew that. And knowing that, their faith would not allow them to be deterred in their pursuit of Jesus Christ. Their faith would not allow them to get bogged down. Their faith would not allow them to get stuck anywhere short of Jesus Christ. When people were in their way, they were around the house, they couldn't get to the door. Their faith would not allow them to get stuck in the crowd. Their faith would not allow them to be content with just being part of a crowd. Their faith would not allow them to take the attitude, well, we'll just stand here with the rest of the multitude. Their faith would not be satisfied with anything less than being in the very presence of Jesus Christ. Their faith would not let them, let people keep them from experiencing Jesus Christ. We see eventually as they, and we don't know how long this took. It could have taken several hours. We don't know. But eventually they moved through that multitude, close enough to the house, they still couldn't get in the door because the people wouldn't get out of their way. But they were now close enough to the house that they were able to make their way to the roof. Again, a beautiful picture. Their faith caused them to rise above the crowd. If you have a faith that does not lift you above the crowd, you have a worthless faith. Their faith enabled them to move through the difficulty of getting through that multitude. It enabled them to move through and move past the difficulty of getting up upon that roof. Carrying a man on his bed up to a roof is no easy task. But their faith enabled them to get through that. Once they're upon the roof, they're met with another obstacle. The roof. The roof is now in their way. The people are no longer in their way, but the roof is in the way. But faith would not allow them to be content there either. Faith would not allow them to just stand upon the roof. But faith moved them beyond that obstacle as well. You see, faith gave them the mindset, we've got to get to Jesus. That was their mindset. That was their mindset when they arrived at that house and they saw the crowd. We've got to get to Jesus. That was their mindset as they moved their way through the crowd and eventually got close enough to the house. We've got to get to Jesus. And when they're up upon the roof, they perhaps could hear the muffled sound of His voice. There's no doubt in my mind that they could, because that is what caused them to be able to determine where Jesus was in the house and to let the bed down. Faith had that mindset, we've got to get to Jesus. These people are not going to stop us. This roof is not going to stop us. We've got to get to Jesus. And that needs to be our mindset every single day. In verse 19 of our text, into the midst. To me, that's, there's people in front, there's people in back, there's people all around. But the key is before Jesus. Before Jesus. That is the position that we ought to desire to be in every single day. Now, there is a sense in which we are. Of course, He sees everything we do, but that's not the sense in which we're talking. So there He is before Jesus. So let's consider that. He's in a position now where He can feel the very presence of Jesus Christ. Certainly we see a difference between working your way through that crowd and being before Jesus. Certainly we see a difference than being up upon that roof and being before Jesus. And certainly this man felt something very different than he felt when the four were carrying him here, weaving him through that multitude. He feels something very, very different now, right in front of Jesus. Certainly there's a difference between what he's feeling now and when he felt upon that rooftop. So he's in a position where he can feel the presence of Christ. How did he get there? Well, they didn't get stuck outside in the multitude because of the difficulties that were out there. They didn't get stuck up on the roof because of the difficulties that were there. But this man, sick of the palsy, lying upon his bed, is lowered through the roof into the midst before Jesus. And there he is in the very presence of Jesus Christ. He is now in a position where he can feel the physical presence of Christ. He is in the same place where Jesus is. And it's, again, he's in the midst. That means there's people all around him. But though there are people all around him, he in a very, very special way felt the presence of Christ. I believe so much so that he was oblivious to the crowd of people that were around him. And I'm sure as the clay began to fall from up above, from them digging in that roof, the people began to look above and they saw that bed being lowered down. And I'm sure they didn't remain in silence. I'm sure many of them had things to say. But I believe he was oblivious to it all. He is simply focused upon Jesus Christ. He is before Jesus. This is a place of possibility. This is a place of hope. This is a place of assurance and peace. He is before Jesus. And oh, what a difference he felt there than he did outside in the multitude or upon the roof. And oh, how we need to get to this place before Jesus. It takes faith. Secondly, we see he's in a position where he could see Jesus. As they're making their way through that multitude toward the house, they know that Jesus is in the house, but they can't see him. When they're up on the roof, they can't see him. But he didn't get stuck outside in the multitude where he couldn't see Jesus. He didn't get stuck up on the roof where he couldn't see Jesus. But again, this man who was sick of the palsy, lying upon his bed, is lowered through the roof into the midst before Jesus. And there, he can see Jesus. Now, do you believe that as that bed is lowered right before Jesus Christ, that this man looked all around at the people around him? I don't think so. I don't think he just gave a gaze over to Christ and then looked around the room. He stared intently upon Jesus Christ. His eyes are fixed upon Jesus Christ. Again, there are people all around him. His eyes are not upon the people. His eyes are upon Jesus. And we need to get so before Jesus that that's where our eyes are. That's where our focus is. And what does he see? He sees God. He sees God's provision for himself. He sees God's remedy, God's cure, God's solution. When they came upon the multitude outside of the house, they kept moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. And when they got close to the door, they still couldn't get in, but they kept moving in the direction of Christ. And they rose above that crowd, still moving all the time. They're moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. And breaking up the tiling of that roof, the man sick of the palsy, lying upon his bed, is now before Jesus. And oh, how different things look there. As they're working, they're weaving their way through the multitude. He could see the multitude. As they're up on the roof, he could see the roof. But now he's before Jesus. Everything looks different now. Everything looks different. People wouldn't have the view of life they have. I'm talking about God's people. If they were before Jesus, they wouldn't have the view of their circumstances that they have if they were before Jesus. I'm telling you, everything looks different when you're before him. Thirdly, not only did he feel the presence of Christ as he was before Jesus, not only could he see Jesus as he was before Jesus, he's in a position now where he can hear him. He didn't get stuck outside in the multitude where all he could hear was the people. He did not get stuck upon the roof where all he could hear was perhaps the muffled sound of his voice. But he's before Jesus. And there, he can hear him. He can hear what Jesus has to say. And I'm sure in that house that day, There were many other noises going on in and around that house, but none of that mattered. He heard Jesus. He heard Jesus. It was here before Jesus. Notice in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 2, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, we see the bed has already been lowered down in verse 4. He said unto the sick of the palsy. He spoke directly to him. And the first word out of his mouth was son. Son. And all the joy that filled his heart. Son. It wasn't, why are you here? It's son. Son. Things sound different. You hear different things when you're before Jesus. It wasn't out in the multitude that he heard that word. It wasn't up on the rooftop that he heard that word. It wasn't until he got before Jesus that he personally heard that word. Son. It was here before Jesus that Jesus said those glorious words, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Of course, we preached on that this morning. But all the peace that came upon him. Did the peace come up upon him when he was in the multitude? No, that's not where the peace came upon him. Did the peace come upon him on the roof? Faith kept moving in the direction of Christ, and eventually you're before Jesus. And he heard Jesus directly say to him, Son, your sins are removed. Son, your sins have been blotted out. They're all washed away. Son, thy sins, every single one of them, none of them are imputed to you. So he heard Jesus. Fourthly, before Jesus, he's in a position where he receives instruction from Jesus Christ. Again, he did not get stuck outside in the multitude. And out there in the multitude, I'm sure there were all kinds of instruction on what he should do, what the four should do. But he didn't get stuck there. Faith kept moving him in the direction of Jesus Christ. And now he's before Jesus. And in verse 24, he receives instruction. I say unto thee. This was following. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I say unto thee, arise, get up. Told him to do something he could not do. But when Jesus spoke that word, arise, he gave him the power, he gave him the ability to do just that. Arise, and so not only get up, but there's more instruction to follow. Take up thy couch. Get up out of your bed. Bend over. Pick up that bed. Pick it up. This is the instruction that he would have never heard in the multitude of people. It was faith that brought him to this place. Before Jesus. And it would require faith to follow the instruction of Christ. Arise! He could have said, Lord, I can't. That's why I'm here. That's why I had to be carried here. But faith caused him to obey. It was before Jesus that he would receive instruction that would change his life. Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. Go back home. It was instruction that would change his life. Oh, how we need to get before Jesus and hear the instruction that will change our life. He realized that his life needed to be changed. Perhaps we need to get there first, no perhaps about it, where we realize all is not well. There are things that are wrong. And I need life-changing experiences. Realizing that, move in the direction of Christ. And keep moving in the direction of Christ until you're right before Him. Do not settle getting near to the place where He is, outside in the multitude or up on the roof. Don't settle for that. But keep on pressing on toward Christ until you're right before Him. Fifthly, he's in a position where he can experience and receive from Jesus Christ. Again, he did not get stuck outside in the multitude. He did not get stuck upon the roof. Such would have greatly limited his experience. Had he got stuck in the multitude, he could have gone home and he could have told his relatives, I got close. We were almost there. Had he got stuck there? Had he got stuck up on the roof? He still would have had to been carried back home. And all he could say was, I got close. But this man, sick of the palsy, lying there upon his bed, is lowered through the roof into the midst before Jesus. And now he's in a place where he can personally experience and receive his power. Notice verse 25. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay. Before Jesus, it was before Jesus that he was enabled to do the impossible. If you're called upon to do that which is impossible, what you need to do is you need to move in the direction of Christ, and you need to keep moving in that direction till you get to before, to where you are right before Him. Because it is there that you find an enablement. Now look at him in verse 25. Immediately he rose up before him and took up that whereon he lay. He's now standing there before everyone in that house. And he's holding his bed. And he's holding his bed. I don't know how long he stood there. But as he stands there holding his bed, he is the recipient of a miracle of grace. And all the miraculous wonders we experience before Jesus. Again, look at him. Standing there, holding his bed. This is a blessed man. holding his bed. And oh, the blessing that there is before Jesus. It's got to sink into the hearts and minds of God's people. There's more blessing in being before Jesus than being stuck here in this multitude. There's more blessing in being before Jesus than there is being stuck up on the rooftop, rising above the people. Yes, there's blessing in rising above the people, but there's more blessing in getting before Jesus. That has to sink in so that faith keeps moving us in the direction of Jesus Christ. He is also, lastly, in a position where a great change takes place. Again, he did not get stuck outside in the multitude. And he did not get stuck upon the roof. But he is let down on his bed into the midst before Jesus. And it was there that he was enabled to get up from that bed. It was there that he was able to bend over and pick up his bed. And there he stands before Jesus with his bed in his hands. And then we read in verse 25 that he departed to his own house glorifying God. And I don't know what happened to the four on the roof. I imagine they got down pretty quick and walked home with him, but I don't know that for sure either. But I know this. He wasn't carried home. He walked all the way. He ran, he hopped, he skipped. And it says that he did so glorifying God. You see, it was before Jesus that a life-altering change took place. And he wasn't carried home. He went home walking, carrying his pallet, glorifying God. A miraculous, obvious change has been wrought in his life. And perhaps there were those in his house or his neighbors who saw him being carried out of the house by the four. And they look out their window now. And here he comes walking down the road. He's not lying on a bed. He's not being carried. He's walking and he's carrying the bed. And they have to realize something has happened. And when you get before Jesus, people cannot help but realize just looking at you, something has happened. And when he arrived home, he was able to walk in the door. No one had to assist him. He was able to walk in the door. He was able to walk around his house. He was able to do things around the house that he could not do before. A life-changing power has been found. And it was before Jesus that this life-changing power took place. We need to get before him. We need to get before him. You say, well, this is in my way. This is in my way. This is in my way. There will always be obstacles. Always. If you are foolish enough to believe that once this obstacle is gone, then it'll be smooth sailing, you are deceived. There will always be obstacles. But we need faith that moves beyond the obstacles. We need to have such an awareness of our need. Such an awareness, I need things changed in my life. And the only way those things are going to change is I've got to get before Jesus. And that faith keeps us moving through all the obstacles. Most of Christianity today is stuck somewhere. They're stuck somewhere. And they've been stuck there for a long time. but a faith that moves you in the direction of Christ and brings you into the presence of Christ will make a difference in your life. And when this man got home, he lived a different life at home now. And when you and I spend time before Jesus, our home lives will change. You know what husbands and wives need? I'm talking about those that are saved. Husband and wives need to individually get before Jesus. Husbands and wives together need to get before Jesus. That's where the power is. That's where the miracle is. Not out there in the multitude. Not up on the rooftop. But before Jesus. And oh, how blessed it is when spouses, when husbands and wives are moving in the same direction. They're moving toward Christ. But if you have a spouse that's not moving toward Christ, you keep moving toward Christ regardless. You never stop. You just keep moving toward Christ. You may have children and they're not moving toward Christ. They're moving away from Christ. You just keep on moving in the direction of Christ because that's where you find power. That's where the miracle is. Before Jesus. And I'm here to tell you it'll have an effect upon your life. It'll have an effect upon your home. Getting before Jesus. There may be the same obstacles day after day. And there may be different obstacles. But really, the obstacle's not the issue. The issue is getting beyond the obstacle, and that takes faith. A faith that moves you in the direction of Christ and brings you into the presence of Christ. This man, I don't imagine that his trip to the house where Jesus was, I don't know how far it was, but I don't imagine it was too pleasant. Bouncing on that bed, working through the multitude, getting up on that roof. But after he was before Jesus for a while, he had a wonderful trip home. And you and I are on our way home. I'm not talking about our physical place of residence here. I'm talking about our heavenly home. And you want to have a wonderful trip home? Spend time before Jesus. Makes all the difference in the world. Oh, what a journey it is when we can get before Jesus. May we never be guilty of diverting anyone from the direction of Jesus Christ. But may we be like the four carrying that bed in the direction of Jesus Christ. So those are two very precious words before Jesus. That's where I long to live, before Jesus. My life is so much better there before Jesus. Makes all the difference in the world. So all that God would give us the faith that would work its way through all the obstacles moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.